From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Moline, in today for Brian Mackey. We're now well into the school year, and we have a clearer picture of how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected student enrollment thanks to an annual report from the Illinois State Board of Education called the Illinois Report Card. We're also seeing how the pandemic is contributing to school staff shortages around Illinois, where districts are struggling to find teachers, substitutes, bus drivers, and other school employees across the state. Joining us now to discuss the state of schools in Illinois are three reporters. Peter Medlin is education reporter at WNIJ in DeKalb and host of the podcast Teachers Lounge. Peter, welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Emily Hayes is a reporter for Illinois Newsroom in Champaign-Urbana. Emily, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thank you.
And Megan Valley is education reporter for the Belleville News Democrat and Report for America Corps member. Megan, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. How's the school year going in your district? Are you seeing staff shortages? And how's it affecting the children in your life? We can also take any questions you might have for our guests. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. Peter, Megan, let's start with you. There's some new data from the Illinois Report Card, which reflect how the pandemic affected student enrollment and attendance last year. And Megan, what do we know about that?
Yeah, so we know that, like in many states, enrollment went down. And prior to the pandemic, there were already projections that student enrollment in Illinois was going to go down. So when you compare that to, on average, about a 3% decline, in other states, the decline that Illinois saw was sort of well within line of what was going on with other states and their student enrollment throughout the pandemic. So as to where those students go or where they went, the state board doesn't have a very clear idea of, you know, whether those students were being homeschooled or enrolled in private schools or if they just weren't attending any school at all. So as to what those missing students were doing last school year, we don't have a good sense of what that looked like for them yet.
Sure. And the report card uses the term chronically absent. And I'm curious how they classify that.
Yeah. So a chronically absent student is a student who misses 10% or more of the school year. And what's interesting is, you know, if you look at different stages of the pandemic and how the number of students who were considered chronically absent has changed. So that actually went down at the very beginning of the pandemic back in spring of 2020, because there wasn't a clear idea of what should be counted as attendance when you have remote learning, when you have, especially in some districts where there wasn't wide availability of internet access and you were maybe doing printed out packets that were being collected weekly, there wasn't a good idea of what does attendance look like. And so that number has become a little bit more refined as we've gotten further in, and especially this year when schools are in person. But it still was quite high last year.
Sure. You know, Peter, you've also written about this new release of data, and I'm curious if those same problems are persisting in Rockford, in that part of the state.
Oh, absolutely. And when you talk about things like chronic absences, you know, this was something that statewide, if you look at where the numbers were at before the pandemic, it was about 17% of students. So it's still pretty high, if you think about it that way, of students that were chronically absent. And Rockford was a place that was higher than the state average before, but the pandemic exacerbated it to a much further degree now, where more than half, you know, 51% of Rockford students are classified as, you know, people that were chronically absent. And if you break that down demographically, that's almost 70% of Black students in Rockford were considered chronically absent last year.
Wow, that's huge. Emily, I know you also did some reporting on this in Champaign-Urbana. How do the numbers look there?
It's interesting to hear the Rockford numbers because, you know, already the Champaign numbers looked really high to me. It was about more like 25% of all students were chronically absent, which is one in four students. That seems pretty extreme. And then for Black and low-income students, it's more like 50%. But compared to Rockford, that isn't quite as dramatic, perhaps.
Yeah, certainly still a large issue across the state. Listeners, if you're just joining us, I'm Brian Moline filling in for Brian Mackey today on the 21st. And we're speaking with three reporters about the latest in schools across Illinois, enrollment and attendance. And we're going to get into staff shortages now. My guests are Peter Medlin, education reporter at WNIJ and host of the podcast Teachers Lounge, Emily Hayes, reporter for Illinois Newsroom, and Megan Valley, education reporter for the Belleville News Democrat and Report for America Corps member. We can take your calls as well at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Megan, one of your recent pieces is on staffing shortages in schools in the state, but the state actually grew its teaching force last year, from what I understand. And what does that say about the shortages we're seeing?
Right. So, even though that there are more unfilled positions each year, and those are just positions where, you know, a school district will advertise for it. They'll want someone in that position, whether it's a teaching position or a teacher's assistant or a parapro, but they haven't been able to fill those. At the same time, though, yes, we are increasing the number of people who are working as teachers in the state. And so at least how the state board is interpreting that is, you know, it's overall a good thing that these school districts have the funds and want to fill those positions. And even though progress is being made to grow that teaching force, that need that school districts have is sort of outpacing it at this point.
Yeah, where are we really seeing the shortages now? Is it teachers specifically or other school staff positions?
Well, this year in particular, a really dire shortage that a lot of school districts have had to deal with is for staff like bus drivers. At least down here in the Metro East, I know there's at least a couple of school districts where at various points of the year they've had to adjust their bus schedules, or in some cases it looked like they were maybe going to have to cancel it for certain grades. And, you know, sometimes that will put, to sort of help pick up the slack, you know, there'll be like county transportation services that will help to get those kids to school. So I think that in a lot of places you're seeing bus drivers as a particularly dire need right now.
Sure, sure. And I know you've also reported on how one district in Collinsville is addressing staff shortages there. What are they doing?
Yeah, so what they're looking at is sort of a grow your own program, which a lot of districts have. And the idea is that you are exposing kids to the idea that, you know, teaching might be a good career path for them. Before they get to college, so they at least have some idea of, you know, what does that look like beyond just going to school every day and seeing that they have a teacher. And so what they're doing is they're looking at ways to provide scholarships for students, and that'd be prioritizing those students who are either a racial minority or they're coming from a family that's living in poverty, and prioritizing those so that, one, they maybe join the teaching force, and those would be renewable scholarships throughout their college career. And then they're also looking at, you know, how can they incentivize their own graduates then to come back and teach specifically in the Collinsville 10 school district, and what sort of financial incentive they might be able to give them for that too.
Peter, I know you've written about staff shortages in Rockford as well. How's it playing out there?
Yeah, it's same types of situations where they're seeing these bus driver shortages like we're talking about, where they can only cover a certain amount of routes per day. So they have to cycle through, so they're not, you know, so the same kids aren't missing out on routes every day. It kind of cycles through the different kids. And then they're also seeing teacher shortages. They're seeing school nurse shortages. So school nurses having to cover multiple buildings at once and try to get along with that while also keeping track of, you know, students who may need to quarantine and all of that. And then early childhood educators too, and we're thinking about the youngest students, you know, your pre-K kindergarten teachers. I was just talking to the people that run the early childhood program over there, and they were saying that, you know, not only have they have long-term subs in some of their rooms and had to cut down on class sizes, but they straight up said that, you know, they have two classrooms that they just haven't been able to open because they don't have a teacher to staff it.
Wow. Just one side note. I know, you know, we touched on substitute teachers here briefly. I know the districts here are starting to increase substitute teacher pay. I know in a couple districts it's jumped from $110 per day up to $140 or $150 per day. So that's one way that districts are trying to address that particular shortage. You know, Emily, in one of your recent pieces, you reported on a different kind of shortage in Champaign schools. How are police officer shortages in Champaign affecting that school district?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Champaign is no longer providing school resource officers, which are the uniformed officers in schools who have the power to arrest. That means that the school district has had to find private security firms to fill that gap. They recently hired AGB, a Chicago-based company, to provide security officers for their high schools and their middle schools. And it's really interesting because there's been this debate about whether, you know, police officers belong in schools. And this is a situation where the police officers aren't in schools, not because of that debate, but because of a shortage. And it's interesting to see how private security might, you know, what does that mean for students in terms of equitable disciplining. And this company is Black owned and is very, you know, has a lot of emphasis on cultural competency. So the superintendent pointed to that as a bright spot in what is otherwise kind of an emergency that the district had to deal with this summer.
Yeah, I think that's a topic that we could certainly explore a lot more, but we've got just a few minutes left. And I also want to touch on COVID protocols in schools in Illinois right now. And Peter, you've reported how some Rockford area schools are now using test-to-stay protocols. What is that, and how's it working so far?
Yeah, so test-to-stay is pretty simple, actually. It just means that, you know, especially particularly unvaccinated students who are exposed can be tested at school, and if they test negative, they don't have to quarantine, so they don't have to miss out on a week or what have you. And students have to be tested on the first, third, fifth, and seventh day after exposure. And so, you know, if they test positive at any point during that, they have to quarantine. And so the idea is just to keep them in school if they keep testing negative and try to cut down on the amount of students who need to quarantine, because you're still seeing, you know, we could talk about another school district in our area in DeKalb. I mean, you know, they have 13 students that tested positive last week, and that's over 400 students that are quarantining. So districts are trying to find any way they can to maybe cut down on that. And I think that some school districts, like the one that I talked to specifically for this test to say protocol, haven't had to use it, thankfully, because they haven't had a ton of negative tests, but say that it's been effective when they have, and that they hope to. Right now, it's in mainly, like I said, elementary schools where most of the students are unvaccinated, but they are planning over the next few weeks to roll this out and expand it to all of the schools in their district.
Gotcha. Megan, you've been reporting on how now 145 districts have filed lawsuits over the mask mandates and quarantines here in Illinois. What can you tell us about that? Megan, are you still with us?
Yep. Sorry, I just missed the first part of the question.
No,
Yeah, so there is a class action lawsuit that's been filed by attorney Tom DeFore. He's filed quite a few cases related to COVID mitigations and executive orders over the course of the pandemic. And for this class action lawsuit, yeah, there are parents from 145 districts represented. And right now it's kind of just a waiting game. There was originally a hearing that was scheduled for Friday. That was going to be the first for the class action lawsuit, and it was vacated. So there's a couple of similar cases around the state that are just really just looking at, you know, what are, you know, what's going on with schools with the masks or, you know, some of those testing programs that schools have. And basically they're just looking for a way right now to sort of consolidate that into one larger case. So they have about a week, I think, to sort of set when those next dates are going to be. But yeah, until then, we're just sort of waiting.
Just a couple of minutes left. Peter, we'll give you the last word here. What's the status of vaccine mandates for school staff in Illinois K-12 schools? And can you give us any sense on what the vaccination rate is so far for staff?
statewide, I'm not sure. I know that districts like Rockford had told me that is really early on, because I believe it was going to be mid-September where the vaccine mandates for staff were going to go into place, and it ended up getting delayed a few weeks until the end of the month, early October. And so, yeah, still in place. And those also do count for substitute teachers, like we're talking about. They would also have to adhere to those guidelines. And the districts I talked to are happy with their rates. I know that early on, like I said, back in September, they were saying over 80%. So I would wager that those have increased for where they are now. But yeah, so it's not just teachers, but substitute teachers, anyone that's in the building would have to adhere to it.
All right, very good. Well, we'll leave this conversation here. Certainly a lot more we could talk about in education across the state, but to really appreciate this conversation today. Peter Medlin is education reporter at WNIJ in DeKalb and host of the podcast Teachers Lounge. Emily Hayes, reporter for Illinois Newsroom in Champaign-Urbana, and Megan Valley, education reporter for the Belleville News Democrat and Report for America Corps member. All three of you, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Brian.